Today is one of the more difficult and confusing days, well, probably is the most confusing day in our church calendar. It's unique that it starts off as a glorious feast day, you know, a grand celebration, a carnival almost, and within about a half an hour becomes the most solemn of fast days. We go from the greatest joy to the worst sadness and sorrow. We watch Jesus enter into Jerusalem triumphantly. You know, people are honoring him like he is some great victorious general or king riding in from victory. You know, they're yelling, Hosanna. You know, they're waving the palms. They're putting their coats and flowers and branches and whatnot, you know, so that the, you know, so the colt, you know, can walk onto it instead of the bare ground. You know, people welcomed him with not only open arms, but as some great man. But then we go just a few days later. The same group of people who were just yelling, Hosanna, calling him the King of Glory, are now standing, you know, at the Praetorium, screaming at Pilate to crucify him. You know, they went from one extreme to the other. And we think of Jesus, who, of course, you know, is being honored and recognized, and all of his disciples are treating him, you know, like disciples should teach, you know, should, you know, treat their rabbi, their teacher, to them all disappearing. You have Judas, who betrays him with a kiss. Then you have Peter, who is probably the closest thing he has to a best friend, denying him. At the end, the only people who are left are his mother, Mary Magdalene, and a couple of other women. All the men, at least in Mark's telling, have disappeared and left him to hang to his death. And it's a horrible death. Crucifixion, I mean, was a cruel, you know, one of the cruelest forms of capital punishment of all times. It's just well thought out of, because the idea was the person would slowly suffocate to death. And the trouble is even when the person was ready to give up, you know, there's that part in the body, because if you've ever stood around with your arms up long enough, you know it makes it hard to breathe. And the thing is that there's that little tiny, that ledge there that their feet on. And every time you're ready to just let go, your body forces you back up again to take another breath. You know, as you know, you can only hold your breath so long before the body makes you breathe again. So when you hear, and like in some of the variations, where Pilate orders the legs broken on the men, this seems really cruel, but this is an act of kindness. Because what he is he's just allowing them to die. So when you hear Pilate broke their legs, it wasn't because he was being mean. He was actually granting them a quick release from the torture they were going through. So as I said, this is just one of those crazy days. It's a roller coaster. You go from great joy to great sadness. And you have Jesus, probably the most heartbreaking verse of the whole Bible. My God, my God, why are you forsaking me? Why have you abandoned me? And now we know Jesus is the Son of God. Our letter from Philippians today talks about Jesus being of, you know, of equal standing of God. He is fully God as he is fully human. And why did God allow this to happen? You know, when everybody walked away from him, why did he continue to go through this? This morning, as I got to St. Andrews of Mastic Beach, you know, it's always funny how somebody will, every once in a while, derail, you know, a perfectly good sermon. But before church, we have a little boy there, Johnny, 8 years old, who, you know, it was right, you know, before church, you know, we're all kind of hustling around, and Johnny, those of you who are familiar with, you know, the crowd over there, Maddie Beth's son, comes up, and, you know, it's just one of those things out there, you know, I am just basically all, you know, plugged into everything that has to be done. You know, not really paying attention that I'm getting ready to worship as much as making sure everything's in place. And all of a sudden, I just felt, you know, somebody wrapping their arms around my waist. And, you know, looking down, and I'm looking at Johnny, and Johnny goes, "I so love you." And this, I realize this is what all today's all about. Is God so loves us, seemingly at times without any reason, other than because we are. Loves us so much that God will go to any length to reclaim us, to call us back to him. And how overwhelming that sense of love is, to know that with God, it's not a theory. It's not something we talk about. It's not something that is part of our doctrine. It is a fact that we are loved beyond measure. Of late, you know, those of you who have been following the news, Indiana being the first of various states who've passed a so-called religious freedom law. And my sisters and brothers, this has nothing to do with religion. This is all about hatred. Because God does not hate anyone. God loves us all. And the thing is, what makes it tough is he expects us to love one another as he loves us. This morning, this crucifixion shows us the length God will go to show us how much he loves us, even unto death. And not just any death, but one of the worst deaths imaginable. In spite of the fact that we've done everything to reject him, God still gives of himself fully so that he can bring us back. We are entering into Holy Week, one of the most holiest times of the church. We are getting ready to celebrate the Triduum, which is, you know, starts with Maundy Thursday, goes on to Good Friday, the Easter Vigil that will be held over there in Mastic Beach, and then Easter morning, which we celebrate it at the pond, Mastic Beach here, and all over the Western Church. A festival of joy, because of this great love. Now, the thing is with Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter, it's divided up at different certain times, but it's all one liturgy. The liturgy of Easter is like a four-day service. Because it is such a big event, it brings us from the time of his last gathering with his disciples to that empty grave. And I'm hoping that you will all try to participate as much as possible the next few days. But if you are unable to come to church because of, let's face it, we live in a time where, you know, it's not like in the old days where you basically got off to go to church from work. But I hope that if you're unable to come join your sisters and brothers in worship, that you'll take the next week to reflect, to think about that wondrous love, to think about how God so loves you, and just dwell in that. Don't complicate it. Don't make a big, you know, big meditative, contemplative, you know, mess of it. Just sit down and just open yourself and think about how much you are loved. And then take that love and pass it along to everyone you meet. Friends, family, workmates, complete strangers. Because this is what today is all about. This is what every day in our Christian life is about. It's about a God who so loves us more than anything, not even in the world, but anywhere.